Welcome back. Here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, we get lots of questions, obviously, about the energy market, particularly in Calgary. It's, of course, a centerpiece of this community. But certainly, it's been, oil's been on a strong run. Canadian energy companies have been doing very well. And let's explore some of the reasons why and what we can expect to see in the future.
Yeah, let's take it not only in regards to the companies itself, but oil going from a negative number on its way to $100, according to some analysts. What's the impact? Where is it coming from? What's the risk? And people who've lived in Alberta have seen a boom and a bust, Dave. And when they see these opportunities of this kind of a growth, there's always that little bit of fear of, will this thing turn back and will I lose on my investment? Will the price of oil plummet? So on and so forth. Yep. So what are the risks out there as well? But there's nobody else better than we can talk about this topic from investing and the price of oil when it comes to the energy market. And we've got Eric Nettle, Partner, Senior Portfolio Manager at Nine Point Partners. Eric, welcome to the show.
Happy to be with you.
Hey, congratulations, first of all, Eric, on a couple of, a great year last year, a terrific start to this year. You've done extremely well in the picks, and of course, you've got some tailwinds of what's going on in the energy markets. And maybe that's where we can start the conversation. If you could just give us a little bit of context of what you see in the markets today. And I know you're thinking about a potential generational opportunity in oil and gas here. But first of all, the context. What do you see in the energy markets right now?
You bet. Well, I think we're in a multi-year bull market for oil. And you need to take a step back to evaluate, okay, how do we get into this situation in the first place? We know for quite a while now we've had to deal with COVID and the impact on demand, the demand shock, et cetera, and the lingering impact that had on oil inventories. I was taught early in my energy career to be a student of inventories because it has the greatest inverse correlation to the price of anything that you could look at. And another factor is in the energy markets, it's very difficult to get real-time data. Like there's no ticker to find real-time oil demand. And so when you follow inventories, it's really the nexus between supply and demand. And so I was a believer that we would see a healing of the surplus in global inventories that was caused by the demand shock from COVID. And yet, as much as people wanted to focus on demand, I was convinced that the real story going forward is on supply. And the structural constraints on supply growth, whether it's on U.S. shale, whether it's on the global supermajors, whether it's on OPEC, there's a variety of reasons, but they all result in the same impact. And that is, I see an environment going forward where production growth is very challenged. And yet demand, I think, will grow for at least the next 10 years. And so the setup is continue drawdown in global inventories, upwards pressure on price. You know, we all like to use round numbers. I was guilty through last year and this year talking about $100 oil and such, but there's nothing magical. There's no difference between 100 and 101. I just think people need to embrace the idea that we are in a higher price environment. You know, as good as $92 feels today, for a lot of sovereign nations, this just gets them to a fiscal break-even as a major oil-producing country. And frankly, in a post-U.S. shale hyper world, this is where we used to be. You know, if you look at inventories, we're approaching the levels last seen between 2010 and 2015. Well, the average oil price averaged about $97 during that time period. So as weird as this feels, as unusual, as good as it feels, you know, we're all conditioned to expect that a bad thing is about to follow a good thing because we've all been run over so many times. It feels very different this time, and I think the road forward is very different than the one we've been stuck on for the past 10 years.
So there's talking about this generational opportunity. We've seen this been, when you mentioned those words, those words have been taken out and used pretty much in every media outlet out there when it comes to energy. And so when you talk about this generational opportunity, let's break down maybe two or three things that gives you the evidence for our viewers and listeners to say, okay, this is an opportunity, because there are a lot of skeptics in this province of Alberta right now with everything that we've gone through to see it go this high. Yeah, we've heard this before, a great opportunity. And then all of a sudden a bust comes out and they're like, this is not what we expected. And their portfolios, their jobs, the housing market in Alberta, everything is kind of what reliant upon this to some degree. Let's get your two or three points of why you think this is a generational opportunity.
Sure. So I think people need to dare to dream and see a world in which we've basically neutralized the biggest disruptive factor over the past 10 years, and that is the rise of U.S. shale. for too long, anytime there was a price rally, you'd have an increase in supply from U.S. shale producers. And what I think people fail to fully appreciate is the structural change in the very business ethos of these businesses. They've gone from growth seeking to return seeking, from growing 20, 30, 40% irrespective of the economic devastation that occurred, to we need to mute to maybe have very, very modest growth to allow us to maximize free cash flow such that we can return that free cash flow back to investors. And it took a long time. It wasn't an overnight change, but there's been a structural change. There's been the codification of companies having to satisfy a variable quarterly dividend where there's effectively a cash sweep. And the only way that that disruptive force, U.S. shale hypergrowth, could return would be your shale CEO going back to investors saying, we know right now at the crude oil price, you're enjoying your 8 to 10% cash yield, but we want to take that money away from you so that we can go use it to drill and grow our production aggressively because we know just how well that ended the last time. And so what would happen? The CEO who is making about $15 million a year would get fired, the board probably tossed. It's too tasty for yield investors now to give that up anytime soon. So that's the context. Going forward, we're relying on long cycle, not short cycle, 4 to 6 years to bring on big mega projects, not 4 to 6 months. And so when I look at valuations today, if I use the analogy of widgets, because when I talk about oil, there's an emotion to that. So as an investor, just say that at the current outlook for widget manufacturers, the average widget guy has a warehouse with 15 years of widgets just sitting there. So the very high certainty, there's no risk, it's there. And yet because of the average selling price right now of widgets, it's up. Some guys think it's going to go higher. It's a very profitable business. The net margin that generates excess free cash flow is so huge. And yet the valuation of widget manufacturers, because people don't understand the widget business very well, is so low that out of free cash flow, the average widget manufacturer could privatize, could buy back all of the outstanding shares in 4 years. And that's even with the average widget price fell by about $12 from here. If it went from $92 to $80 per widget. And so my belief is I am getting free optionality because the average widget guy is probably discounting a widget price of $60 and we're sitting at 92 today. You're getting free optionality, not just on where oil is today because of that massive chasm, but in the more bullish optionality. With the average oil company now sitting on 15 years of inventories, but able to privatize with 4 years at $80 WTI, an investor's literally getting an 11 years of relatively known free cash flow stream for free. And so at $80, the sector's trading at a free cash flow yield of 26%, meaning for 10 years at $80 oil, or 15 years, a company can pay a 26% dividend per year. And so that's income with relatively low risk that the street's not paying for at all because of a theme called energy ignorance, which I'm sure we can touch on later on.
Eric, that's an excellent point. I want to explore that a little bit more. I also want to explore the amount of risk and volatility that people are going to have to inherently accept in the oil and gas market. But we're going to do that after the break. So we do have to go to a break. But before we do that, Faisal, we've got to remind everybody about our upcoming seminar, right? Because you see lots of volatility, whether it's in oil and gas or it's in technology markets. And irrespective of what's happening in any of those markets, people still have a lifestyle that they need to maintain.
Yeah, and we talk about how we actually can find these opportunities. Like, how do you find someone like Eric to put in your portfolio? How do you find these opportunities? We're going to explain all that at our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, February 22nd, live online at 7 p.m. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, we know a little bit about the opportunity. You want to understand the risk that you'll have to accept if you're in this market. Let's talk about that with Eric after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.